In a little under a month from today, on August 2nd, the Treasury Department warns the U.S. won't be able to pay its bills. Money to pay interest on loans from other countries, money to pay Social Security checks, Medicare bills, and so on. Now, since America's founding 235 years ago tomorrow, our government has run up a debt of $14.3 trillion. And every few years, Congress has voted to raise the limit on that debt. But this year, it's different. Many congressional Republicans say, enough. Cut up the credit card and start dealing with the consequences. It's a compelling argument. So much debt seems downright irresponsible, right? Well, the problem is that the global economic system depends in large part on borrowing and the ability to pay it back. And unless Congress raises the debt limit, no one can say for sure what the consequences might be. From NPR News, this is Weekends on All Things Considered. I'm Guy Raz. And our cover story today, the danger of default. We'll hear from two leading members of Congress on where the negotiations stand. But first, a plausible scenario. Economics reporter Annie Lowrey writes for Slate.com, and she interviewed dozens of Wall Street analysts to find out what the morning of August 2nd might actually look like.
First, what's going to happen is that the value of Treasury bonds is going to go down. People are going to start selling them because they're not going to want to hold them. There's going to be a flight to safety. And the only thing that's safer in the entire global financial world than Treasuries is cash. So people are going to start hoarding cash. After that, businesses are going to have a lot of trouble with their short-term funding. The entire economy is going to slow down because all of the funding mechanisms are going to be disrupted. Foreign investors are going to stop investing. American investors are going to stop investing, and you could actually see the entire U.S. economy go into a recession just because of a financial crisis again.
Slate.com's business reporter Annie Lowrey with a worst-case scenario. Now, before you start building that survival bunker, Peter Morici, an economist at the University of Maryland, says that scenario and the Treasury Department's August 2nd deadline are scare tactics. In fact, he says, with some creative juggling, the government will do just fine for at least two more years without raising the debt limit.
The government will still be collecting taxes. Those are enough to cover more than half its expenses. And from that, it can easily pay the interest on the national debt. In fact, it can put out Social Security checks, make Medicare payments, and even most defense expenses.
You are essentially saying the U.S. government right now has enough tax revenues to cover things like interest, Social Security, Medicare, most of defense spending. But for how long?
Well, it could cover those expenses almost indefinitely because it can collect the taxes and just make those expenses. But, of course, what happens to the other functions of government? There are other levers it can pull. For example, the Treasury can print money. Now, that would put a lot of money in circulation. But the Federal Reserve is sitting on a big reservoir of government bonds and can essentially sell those bonds and absorb that money back in. And through that mechanism, we could keep the government going another year at its present level.
It sounds like what you're proposing is to simply kick the can down the road.
I'm not proposing that we do it. I would prefer that we solve this month. But if we can't solve it this month, there is no reason for the United States of America to default. There's a plan B.
You're saying that August 2nd is an arbitrary date, but you're also saying that the debt limit should be raised, but there's no rush to do it. It can be done now. It can be done in 6 months. It can be done in a year.
I can only look at the numbers and the resources that are available. They have options after August 2nd.
That's Peter Morici. He's a professor at the University of Maryland's Robert H. Smith School of Business. Professor Morici, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Now, it's safe to say Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown, a Democrat, does not share Morici's view.
Ultimately, it means that with the dollars we have, we'll have to choose among the options of sending out Social Security checks or paying for prison guards or paying for food safety inspections or paying soldiers or paying veterans benefits. But even worse, perhaps even than that, and that's pretty unimaginable, is that it could cause the whole financial system to crash, and it certainly will hurt our standing in the world.
Many Democrats have been accusing Republicans of playing politics, but let me ask you this question. I mean, many Republicans are saying, our voters will not allow me to back this. Certainly the freshman Republicans in the House, they ran on this platform. Can you blame them for not wanting to back it?
Their job, they're now elected officials. Their job is to educate their voters and to do the right thing. And the right thing, as regrettable as it is for everybody to vote for raising the debt ceiling, is to raise the debt ceiling. And we're not saying we're going to incur more debt. We're saying we've got to pay the bills that we have pledged that we would pay.
Senator Brown, you and four other Democratic senators sent a letter to the vice president recently, basically urging him to keep Medicare off the table in any kind of debt limit negotiations with Republicans. Is that a deal breaker for you? Are deep cuts in Medicare a deal breaker for you?
Deep cuts in Medicare, I think, are a deal, certainly for me, and I think for a large swath of the Democratic caucus, and I think for the American public. The Republicans insist on cuts, on very, very severe cuts on only 18% of the budget, that non-defense discretionary spending. Most are unwilling to talk with any seriousness about the defense budget. Most are unwilling to talk with any seriousness about any kind of revenues, including closing tax loopholes, eliminating the subsidies for the oil industry, and repealing the special tax breaks for Wall Street hedge funds.
If those same Republicans are unwilling to consider some of those revenue-raising measures, and some Democrats are unwilling to talk about serious spending cuts, how are you going to reach a compromise?
We're willing to make major cuts. The vice president's already negotiated that with the Republicans. We just think defense needs to be on the table, and ending some of these outrageous tax breaks for Wall Street and big oil and outsourcing jobs.
Bottom line, Sherrod Brown, are you confident that the debt ceiling will be raised before August 2nd?
Yeah, I am. I have enough confidence in John Boehner, a fellow Ohioan, lives in a different part of the state from me and subscribes to a very different political philosophy. I'm confident that he will have the skills and will be grown up enough to convince enough Republicans to join with Democrats to do the right thing.
That's Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown. Senator Brown, thank you so much.
Good to be with you, Guy. Thank you.
Now, other members of Congress aren't so optimistic, including Jeff Flake. He's a Republican congressman from Arizona. And I asked him if he thinks the U.S. could actually default.
Yes, I think that's a distinct possibility unless we can come to some kind of agreement here.
What would you be willing to do in order to vote for the debt limit to be increased?
Well, I think in the short term, we've got to have some steep spending cuts to discretionary spending, more than we've done so far. In the medium term, we've got to have some kind of caps that will kick in if we fail to hit our spending targets, which we likely will. And for the long term, we need some kind of balanced budget amendment or some mechanism to make sure that we don't continually get into this position.
President Obama this past week said, look, you know, Democrats have dropped their maximalist positions. They're willing to make a painful spending cuts. Republicans have to drop their maximalist positions on certain tax increases. Could you conceive of a deal where there might be some tax increases and you would still back an increase in the debt ceiling?
You know, we as House Republicans have already signed on to a budget which would lower the rates but expand the base and would increase revenue. So I think we recognize that we need to increase revenue for the Treasury. I don't think that has to come in the form of increased tax rates. But Republicans, I think, also need to get over the opposition to some defense cuts. I think we're going to inevitably have to cut some defense. But on the Democratic side, there seems to be an unwillingness to really cut spending.
If Congress cannot reach an agreement and the U.S. does actually go into default, are you worried that the public could blame congressional Republicans?
They could. Certainly with the government shutdown, the fear among Republicans was that we would get the lion's share of the blame. And that put us in a pretty poor negotiating position. And that's why the cuts were pretty paltry. In this case, I think the lion's share of the blame would likely go to the White House. I think the administration knows that they're in the driver's seat here.
Are you confident that a deal will be reached soon?
You know, Congress tends to act right when we hit the fiscal cliff. If you look at the TARP vote or other examples in history, the problem now is we don't know exactly where that cliff is. I think if we were to raise the debt ceiling, then we'd hit that cliff perhaps when we have a Treasury auction and don't have anybody willing to buy our debt. And so that's the difficulty here. There are some who believe that we can go for a while before we raise the debt limit, and some think that it needs to be immediate.
What do you think? Do you think that it's pressing, it has to be dealt with now?
I think it certainly behooves us. We should have acted years ago, and we wouldn't be at this ratio of debt to GDP. Having said that, I think that those who say that we can only go until August 2nd, probably overstating it a bit, but certainly over the next year, we can't just punt this ball until after the presidential election, so I know that.
That's Arizona Republican Congressman Jeff Flake. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
But if the U.S. is just a month away from default, there is still one question left to answer. Why isn't Wall Street panicking? In fact, the markets just had their best week in 2 years.
I'm a little puzzled by that.
That's Nobel Prize-winning economist and New York Times columnist Paul Krugman.
I'm a little puzzled by how little sign there is of what looks like a looming crisis in the market. People are buying short-term U.S. government debt and very low interest rates. In fact, briefly, they were buying one-month U.S. government debt at a negative interest rate last week. And it's one thing to think that probably something will be worked out. I'm not even sure of that. But to believe that certainly something will be worked out, I don't know. I don't quite get it.
What explains it?
Partly, I think this is completely uncharted. I think it's very hard for people, including market participants, to wrap their heads around the fact that the United States is so close to becoming a dysfunctional banana republic. You still keep on thinking, well, this is America. Things like that can't happen here. And I hope they're right, but I don't have confidence in it.
New York Times columnist Paul Krugman. Coming up, a scientist in Brooklyn who says one day everyone can eat local seafood. Kansas City bluefin tuna sound good? Stay tuned. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.